Welcome back. In the last video, we showed you how to set up your basic layout of the game, and also we added a few sprites, including our player and the platform. In this video, we're going to show you how you can dress up your sprites a little by adding textures, by adding graphics, and even animations. So let's start by dressing up our character. Right now it's just a simple red square. We're going to make it an actual player. So, Zenon?
Okay, so we want to get some animations going for our, well, let's get some images going for our sprite first. So right click on your sprite, your player sprite. So that's the red one. And we're going to go edit animations. And this takes you back to the image editor, which you would have seen earlier. Now, what we want to do is get in a whole bunch of images. So we're going to go down to this animation frames tab. Right-click there, and we want to say import frames. And we're going to say import frames from files.
Cool. So what we want to do is navigate to a folder of a whole bunch of animation frames, frames being each individual image that make up the entire animation. So it was, yep.
So we've got this assets folder here, and the frames for our player is very nicely put in a player folder. And so you can see here we've got a whole bunch of frames. And we want to bring these all into construct. So we're just going to select them all. I'm just going to hit Control A over here to select all of them and set open once you've got them.
Cool. And you can see that in the animation frames window, we've got our individual frames laid out for us. You can see that the first frame is still our red square, so we probably don't want it anymore, so we can just go ahead and delete it. So just by right-clicking and pressing delete. And now you can see our character. So with most games, you can see that the characters are within a square, but not the entire square is our character, so we want to tell the game that. We want to tell where our character, tell the game engine where our character actually is within that square. And to do that, we're going to use a bounding box.
Do you reckon we should show what? I think, so what we'll actually do, just to make it easier to visualize, we'll actually run it as it is.
Okay.
And...
Oh, yeah, okay, I see.
Yeah, so it'll show, it'll be easier to understand.
Okay.
So we're going to drop our character, we're just going to move our character down here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to say run, well, actually I'm going to line them up properly. Yep. I'm going to say run layout. Cool. And what you notice is, even though I dropped it down perfectly on the platform, it's still floating above the platform. And that's got to do with the collision polygons that Ming's explaining.
Yep. So yeah, so if we go back into edit animations, as I was saying, before you actually tell it where the player is, it will think that the whole square is a player, but it's not, because it's only the bit where it starts from its feet. So what we'll do is we'll add a collision polygon, and that will tell the game engine where our character actually is.
Cool. So to add that collision polygon, you want to head back down to this toolbar, and there's a button here that says set collision polygon. We're going to hit that. And it's going to give you this blue box around your player. So this is the current collision polygon, and this is the reason why, what do we call it? Is it Battle Cat?
Yeah, Ninja Cat.
Let's call it Ninja Cat.
Yeah.
And that's why Ninja Cat was floating above the platform. What we're gonna do is just adjust this. So let's bring it in so it roughly lines up with the feet of the dinosaur. It doesn't have to be perfect, just needs to be roughly alright. And we'll add another, just adjust these. And what we can do is actually, if you just right-click on a point and you want some more detail, you say add new point. And it gives you, let's drop the point here. So we'll just...
Yeah, so basically it tells the game that anywhere within that bounding polygon over there, it's considered as colliding with the player. And that will become useful later on once we put in obstacles. We want to tell the game when to count the collision as a collision. So let's try that. Let's run the game again
Okay.
with our polygon in. Cool, let's run layout. Cool, and you can see that for a split second, it was on the platform, but then it went above the platform again. That's because the collision polygon only was applied for the first frame. So we go back in once again, if we go edit animation, we can apply that polygon for every other frame. If you just click on one of the other frames, animation frames, you can see that the other animations frames are still squares. So instead of having to do that for every single frame, you can do that if you want to, it's going to take a long time. You can instead right click on the first polygon and go apply to your entire animation. And if you click on the other frames, you can see that it's applied to every single one. So once again, let's try run that and run layout. You can see that now our ninja cat on the dinosaur is correctly walking on the platform. That looks a lot nicer, but it is walking quite slowly. So we're going to probably want to up the speed a little bit. And you notice that it stopped walking, and we'll see how you can fix that. So again, go back into edit animations. Now, if you pay attention to the left-hand side of the screen, there's a proper set of properties. Firstly, the speed, we want to increase that a little bit to something like 25. Yeah. Yep. So that's the number of frames that will run in every second. And you might want to play around with that value to something that looks nice. And the next thing we want to change is loop. And that tells it whether or not it should restart the animation once it reaches the end of it. Again, let's try that. Cool. And you can see that it's running quite smoothly. And it will basically continuously run throughout the entire game. And, we can again walk the character around. So that's our first object. That's our player. That's starting to look pretty decent. Now we've got our player in, we want to dress up the rest of the game. So let's start dressing up the platform that the player is running on. And the first step is actually not to use what we just inserted. Instead of using a basic sprite, we want to now use a tiled background. The nice thing about that is that it allows you to stretch out your background to as long as you want, and it will basically stack your images up for you.
Basically, if we tried to stretch out a sprite, this happens, which looks really bad. Exactly. We don't want that.
Cool. So, Zenon, you can show us how we can change that into a tiled background.
Cool. So what I'm going to do, actually, I'm just going to delete this object completely.
Mm-hmm. And when you delete something, you'll see a little message saying that you've deleted the last instance, which means that, so for every object you put in, it's going to save the object into, if you look on the project, your object type. And that defines the type of the object. But in a game, you might have multiple instances of this object. In other words, you have multiple copies of them. What that dialogue said was that, hey, you've deleted the last instance of it. Do you still need it? And if you don't need it, you can actually go into your project and delete the actual object itself.
So that's what we're going to do here, because we're no longer going to be using this sprite object. Mm-hmm. So let's get rid of that.
Yep.
And what this is saying is basically it's going to delete anything related to that object as well. We'll get into that later, but what we're going to do for now is just insert a new object again.
Mm-hmm.
But this time we are going to look for
a tiled background.
Yep. Actually, if you can't spot what you're looking for, Construct 2 has got these really nifty search bars everywhere. So we're just going to say tiled background.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool. All right. So you'll get a box very similar to what you would have gotten if you inserted a sprite. Again, you will go find your image that you want. So we'll go back into the assets and we'll look for the ground. So that's what we want to create, the platform that it's walking on. Cool. And basically, you can see we've got a rectangular image. We've got some grass on the top and we've got soil that runs right down. Now it doesn't look like we can stretch it very long, but don't worry because Construct 2 will handle that for us, and you can show us. Cool.
There we go. So as you can see, it hasn't actually stretched out the background. Instead, what it's done is it's made it repeat very craftily. So that's really good for us because it doesn't look absolutely crazy.
Yeah, because if it was stretching it, then your little grass patterns will just look elongated, right?
That's correct.
Pixelated. Great. So that's starting to look more like an actual game, right, in just a little green platform. All right, let's test this out by running the layout. Cool. So it seems like our player dropped through the platform again. And that's because when we deleted the old platform and created a new one, it forgot that it's a solid object. So we need to add that behavior again to our tiled background.
So we're going to do it the same way. Back to behaviors, add new behavior, solid. Done.
Cool. All right, let's run that again just to double check. Great.
Perfect.
Now we've got Ninja Cat running on grass. And it just fell. All right, so the background, so that was our platform, but our background is looking a little plain. Right now it's just white. So we're going to dress that up a little bit as well, again with a tiled background. But before we do that, let's introduce something called layers. As you add more and more elements to your game, you want to define where your objects are on relative to each other, whether or not your player's on top of the background or your obstacles are on top of the background. So layers will then allow you to position your objects relative to each other in terms of how it's stacked. So let's add a new layer.
Okay. So head over back to where your projects tab is, and you'll notice there's this layers tab right next to it. So we're going to head into the layers tab.
Within your layers tab, you'll get presented with all the layers in your game. So to start off with, let's first rename the current layer we have as the foreground layer so that we don't get them mixed up. So just hit rename.
Foreground basically refers to everything that's in front of the background, I guess.
Yeah, essentially. and to just what you can also do to check it, actually we'll check it later on. Okay. Let's add the background layer first. Yep.
Let's just rename
this the background. Cool. So within, if you want to work in a particular layer, all you need to do is click on the layer. So currently we're working on the background. So yep, we've clicked on it. And let's add our image assets. So again, insert a new object, and we can go insert a tiled background, because we want our background to tile, as we'll show later on. And let's go browse for our image. And that would be background.png. Cool. We can zoom out just to check. That's looking pretty good.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So let's drop that down.
And there we go. And you can see that our background is actually in front of our foreground right now, which we can fix. And the way we do it, let's resize the background to the entire layout. Now that we can... Okay. See it.
If you're trying to get something in a specific position and it's really hard to get it in that specific position, you can just type in your position over here and it's actually a lot easier. So let's just put this
0, 0, 0.
So 0, 0 is your top left corner over there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And let's just sort of drag it right
across.
Let's drag it right across, actually.
Go some more?
Yeah, let's go some more. And we'll show you why afterwards, because we're going to make this background scroll. So let's drag it to approximately twice the amount, I guess.
Okay.
Zoom out a bit more.
Yeah, I think that's about twice.
Cool, that looks very good. So now you see that problem of our background being in front of everything. And we can fix that using the layers tab again. So if you can see, on the side of each layer name, there's a number. And that number designates its position in the stack. So the lower the number, the further on the bottom it is. So what we'll have to do is drag our background to below our foreground. Cool. And it seems like another problem is that our foreground has a...
It's got a white layer on it.
Yes, it does. Okay.
So to fix that, we're going to head over to our foreground layer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to change our background color off the foreground. So this is the background within the foreground layer,
yes.
As confusing as that sounds.
So by default, it's set to a solid white. And we don't want that because we now have an actual background that we want to see.
So to get rid of it, just head down to this transparency option and make it yes.
Yep.
Easy as that.
Yep. So that just basically tells it to make the default background it had already, the solid white, to not be visible.
Cool.
Great. And you can see that we've now got our player just on top of the platform, and all of that is in front of the background image. Cool. Let's just add one more object to this, and let's add an obstacle here. So to add an obstacle, we're just going to add a standard sprite.
Okay.
So,
So one thing you'll notice is now we're going to try and add an obstacle, and things are going to get weird because we've got this giant background sitting at the back.
Mm-hmm.
So to stop it getting annoying, what we can do is just lock the background.
Mm-hmm. Just by clicking that little padlock yep. icon on the background layer.
And now when you click, it shouldn't select the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, we're not going to be changing the background that much anyway, yeah. So let's just lock it for now. Cool. And let's add our
new object.
Sprite. Yep. So again, standard sprite element. Let's just put it in here somewhere. And let's make this a brick, because bricks are obstacles, right?
Bricks are obstacles.
So let's open that. And cool.
Let's drop that down.
Let's Sweet. Drop that down a little further. Cool. And just to make it an actual obstacle so our player just doesn't run through, let's give it a solid behavior as
That's
well.
That's true. Almost forgot.
Cool. So
add a new behavior yep. like we done last time. Solid.
Cool. And great. So we've got a player. We've got a platform for the player to run on, background, and an obstacle. Let's try run that. Cool, so we can control the player. We can't go past the obstacle because it's solid, but we can jump over it. And that's starting to look a little more like a game. Great. So now we've got a variety of objects in our game. We probably want to keep the game, the project, tidy. And the first thing to do is probably give our objects names.
It's a good idea. Sprite 2. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little uninformative there. So let's call our sprite player. And let's call that an obstacle. Let's just call our tile background, which is our platform. Let's call that block.
Block.
Yeah. And the tiled background is actually a tiled background. So let's just call it tiled background.
Let's just get rid of that too.
Yeah. And this is especially important once you start having a lot more game objects in, when you want to actually know, you know, what is what that you're dealing with. Cool. So after doing all this, you probably want to save your project at this point in time. If your computer crashes, that would be bad.
Just in case.
So there's two options. You can save as a project or save as a single file. Let's do save as a single file because that saves your entire project as one file instead of a folder of many files.
Just easier to manage. If you want to see what's inside your project, you save it as a project and then you can have a look inside. What should we call this?
Let's call this Ninja Runner.
Ninja Runner. Cool. And we're going to save that.
Great. So now we've got some more basic elements to our game. It's starting to look more like a game. We're going to want to make the game a bit more dynamic. And that's what we'll do in our next videos. We're going to make our player run by itself. And we're going to start generating some obstacles.